This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. So, who's up for a cricket burger or a cricket muffin? That might be a tough sell for the average Michigan consumer. But Anthony Haidinger and Theodore Kozerski are going to give it a real good try. They're the co-founders of Detroit Ento. It's Detroit's first sustainable protein R&D farm. And that means these guys are preaching the gospel of crickets for food, feed, and pharma. Anthony and Theodore, pleasure to have you with us on Stateside.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Anthony, what is it about crickets that got you thinking that this is where we need to look for a future food source?
Well, I've always been very interested in insects in general. And over the last couple years that I've been working in Detroit doing urban agriculture, there's just a big lack, especially in the protein market, as far as how it's being produced, where it's coming from. And so when we think about our current protein manipulations, especially being mainly livestock, it's not really the most efficient. Takes up a lot of land, a lot of water, a lot of resources. And so insects can be used for food, feed, and pharma, human food. And if we're not eating it, the food that our pets eat, and adversely, the food that we feed the livestock that we eat, there's also a burgeoning pharmaceutical market for things like protein extracts, lipid extracts, mineral extracts, and also, of course, beneficials like worms and bees. And so it kind of just made perfect sense for my experience in aquaculture and what we want to be doing with urban ag in Detroit. It all just came together.
It all gelled. And Theodore, you and Anthony believe in this so much that you've become food entrepreneurs.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I kind of worked in the same fields, urban ag with Detroit Public Schools, and kind of saw the same things. And, you know, we're not really talking about, when we talk about urban ag, we're not really talking about protein or carbs for that matter, you know. It's very much vegetable-based and sometimes fruit. But so this was kind of, now we're food entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Well, now you are with Detroit Ento. What does that mean? What are you doing right now with Detroit Ento?
So we are in our startup phase. So we just formed our LLC. We have been doing home-based production for about a couple months now and just really formulating the business plan. So the next steps are to get into our industrial space and start our first small-scale operation, which is under 1,000 square feet. And in that time, we're hoping to create sample products and also get some research data together so that when we go for financing for a larger scale farm, we'll be well on our way to a normal production.
So the idea is crickets. Is that the basis?
So starting with crickets, yes.
Why is that? High protein?
They're high protein. They have very easy to digest exoskeletons. They have a very high nutrient ratio of calcium and vitamin B12 and some other, you know, complete amino acid profile. It's the gateway bug, as we like to call it. And so it's so far removed on the food chain, I think most people aren't afraid of crickets, as if, you know, as opposed to like roaches or maggots or other things like that.
You're not talking about, hey, let's dip these crickets in chocolate and say, no. What are you going to do with these crickets?
Yeah. So we'll be milling them into a flour. So more appropriately, a meal or a powder, right?
So cricket powder.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of national food producers already using this stuff. We have tortilla chips, which are aptly named chirps. You know, baking mixes, protein powders, like a paleo protein bar in New York. So a lot of interesting venues for that. Yeah, and then mealworms are next.
I have to ask. We know it's highly nutritious. If I had a cricket muffin made with cricket powder, what would I taste?
It's really indistinguishable. You wouldn't find any pieces in it. You wouldn't have any adverse tastes. On its own, it kind of has a sandy texture, and it tastes, some would say, like raw cacao nibs or like the dried shrimp you get from like Vietnamese markets. Okay. Some even aptly name it land shrimp. You know, because they're in the same family of arthropods, and it has a similar flavor also. But no, you would not be tasting it. Unless you're eating it on its own, it would be completely blended as if it were another fortified ingredient. So wouldn't know.
What other things can you do with the cricket powder? Could you make a burger out of it?
Oh, yeah. And there's looking at that, I mean, for a whole insect dehydrated, it's definitely more of the shock value. But those are eaten all over the place, mostly, you know, not in Western cultures, but you know, like we talk about all the time, frying them up with chili oil and, you know, kefir lime leaves and whatever. You can create a really interesting product. In the burger, it would probably be, you know, a partial grind, and it would just be supplemented to other meats probably, or maybe a soy or something like that.
And as you guys say, this wouldn't turn heads in other parts of the world. How are you going to convince the squeamish American consumer to eat a cricket burger?
Right, right. Well, the general conception is, you know, it's a pest product, and so it does make people very weary of it. There's a few things that we can do to combat that. Being that there's already over 50 companies using cricket powder in, as Ted mentioned, a variety of uses from protein shakes all the way to burgers, it's already happening. There's a burger joint in Royal Oak that sells cricket protein shakes. And so it's already here. It's already happening.
The ship has sailed.
The ship has sailed on part of it. Mm-hmm. I think the real thing will be the breaking into of restaurants and retail scale. I mean, I think once people really understand the environmental and health benefits of it, you know, it's definitely tailored toward a health food market more so than just general protein consumption, at least for now. We follow the same type of mantra that sushi did. You know, at one point it was very disgusting and repulsive, and now...
And now you buy it at your mainstream grocery store,
exactly.
And they're right there making it.
Right.
That's
and
true.
I think in the other part of that, as we start depleting or running out or needing other protein sources, it's almost like a reliance aspect that'll kind of, you know, encourage people to try new things.
So who do you see as your customers, Anthony?
We, at least in this initial round, being that we're trying to produce both for human consumption and eventually pet food, livestock markets. Right now, in the human market, it's national customers looking at, you know, creating baked goods, creating protein shakes. So we have a couple of national customers that are wanting samples. And then we also have a couple of farms that want samples. And then there's also this burgeoning interest in the local food community. There's a few chefs that we are in contact with that want to sample it and figure out how they can turn it into something interesting. I mean, but the companies on the food side, I mean, they really range widely. And the big help for us right now is that there's such low supply. There's only a few farms in the country doing this, and there's over 50 companies exploding to get this out onto the marketplace. And so we're in a very good spot, kind of ahead of the curve. But I think that as we develop our stock and our branding, you know, the way we want it to be, it won't be hard to push it. Whether it's staying locally or not, we're not sure. But we do have a lot of interest from a variety of partners.
Fascinating stuff. And if we're all eating cricket burgers or cricket muffins in the Michigan area, we're going to know that it was Detroit Ento that got it into our mouths. Detroit Ento is on Facebook. You can follow Anthony and Theodore in the production and your future plans. So you'll have to keep us posted as this develops. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very
Absolutely.
Much.
Thank you.